This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two road meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely
fine. Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scrooge or Scrooge or Scroogey, many other names. Telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. If you want to follow us on Guardian Radio, you can punch in Guardian Quest. I think that's what it is. That's the internet access. If you want to go Facebook or whatever, just Guardian Quest. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, you can go and get a live broadcast. I just want to say thanks to everyone out there today. Drive safe. You know, look like it's a little cloudy. But nonetheless, I want to give a shout-out to Drifters, restaurant and bar that is situated on Fish Fry. Also to Scrubber Brookshot for Jovi's Restaurant and Bar at Fish Fry. They've sponsored the show for a few months. And we want to say a very thanks to those guys, Drifters. My boy Cardo, who owns Drifters, and my boy Scrubber or Brookshot, who owns Joey. Those guys are two of the nicest guys in the country. And they have a wonderful clientele business where they're very friendly with their customers, Bahamians and residents from around the world, which they do an outstanding job of being ambassadors for us. So continue to stop by with Fish Fry, the Joey's, and Drifters. Yeah, I also like to give a shout out to Dr. Cecil Nuri for having me on the show for the past 3 weeks. He was getting some information concerning stuff that was very important to make changes in the country. And he wanted to premiere me to show the positive that I've been doing in the country for a very long time that are actually benefiting the Bahamian people today, and you know, and he wanted to get that out there. But he really wanted to have the conversation to really say that if given the chance, those less fortunate, you know, those in the music business, those in out there who are unemployed, those there who are living in the city, you know, who right now they are just struggling to make ends meet, you know, if just given a chance with the tough circumstances that we face, we, once given the chance, will take that opportunity and make the best of the opportunity. And check me out for instance. I'm on radio now. I was a gangster on the street. But I've sat down with prime ministers. I've made legislation pass and House of Parliament. And I'm still assisting the government today. And my biggest goal now is to bring empowerment to the community that I reside in. So second chance is very important. And giving back is very important, more than ever in the country. And I want to thank Cecil Nuri for interviewing me. And I want to thank Guardian Radio for having me on. But you could hear the history that I've been involved with, from Sir Lyndon to Perry Christie to Hubert Ingraham to Tommy Turncrest to Lady Cheryl Wilson to Debbie Bartlett. The name can go on and on and on and on and on. And all was to give my input on how I can help to make this country a better place. Okay? All right. I have some very special guests in studios. But before we let them introduce themselves, let them introduce themselves, then we're going to play that music. But we're going to find out the history about Ah John Canoe, which the original name was Jonka. What it is? Jonka?
Jonka. Jonka. The person.
Right. Yes. And you guys travel up, what do we call it, Ghana?
Ghana. West Africa.
North Africa.
West Africa.
West Africa. Mm-hmm. And on your trip, y'all was able to find some history about ancestry. That's good. And then y'all guys also cut y'all own particular music.
Yes, we did.
And you guys are
guerrilla style.
Guerrilla style. So what we want to do is, as Guardian Radio told me, find Bahamians out there who are doing extremely international work out there and use this broadcast to promote them. So you guys fit that description. That's why I put numbers out there. And anyone in this country who's out there making a difference in their life, pushing their career, and want a better life, where you can take care of yourself, this is sure to come on, because we really want to hear your story, because your story is very important, because we want to inspire those out there who are less fortunate, just like you, but you're struggling, you're keeping it up, and you're keeping it, and you're pushing, and look what got you. But we're going to continue to push you guys by giving you this time, this hour and 30 minutes, to actually show you all the professional work that you all have accomplished by pushing hard. So we're going to let my brother introduce himself. All right.
Yes, I'm a Khufu warrior. I'm a Khufu warrior, Robin Lightborn.
Robin Lightborn. Okay. You're a singer by trade.
Yeah, I'm a multi-talented person, but singing is my passion.
You're an activist also.
Yeah, I'm a pan-Africanism. I also David Rastafari, which is my concept and my, what they call religion, but my concept, my faith, and I also... It's a craftsman, and you know, I was a writer of three or two small books back in the day too. Also, author also, you see. So, a couple different things surrounding my career, but it's just that music is my passion. That's the main element of it all.
We want to hear a little bit more about your career. Yeah, so, what do we want to do, Mr. Rule? These guys went to Ghana, and they got a wonderful song. But this guy is actually a music artist and has some very good songs on YouTube. So we want to, for those who are listening, this is a Bahamian artist, we want you to get the UCode address and take a look and help to promote it and share it, because what we need to do is now to start to promote our own in this country, you know. So could we play the first song, if we could, please? This is original, and we got the authorization, just like Maestro gave us the authorization with the first song that opens the show. So could we play it? Yeah, phones for you guys.
From the great mama Africa to the Caribbean, come again. United we stand, divided we fall. Black people, know who you are. 2020 vision, united we stand, divided we fall. Until you know we are strength in numbers, and we unite for the purpose and goal. Up every day, and your main struggle is to survive. Food up, we eat, so the money up, we wait, so you can't have breaks without faith. Our purpose in life, unite and be strong, time to tear down them walls and them gates. When black people unite, them always afraid, time to cut off the heads of the snake. Unite, we are strength in numbers, and we unite for their purpose and goal. Fussing with me when I'm not the real enemy. If you take the time to see, with love and unity, I guarantee we all would be free. The unity teaches love, they never teach us to hate. So our love is greater than great. Straight out of Africa, the job I'm a set empress and lastly I protector of the fair. You know we are strength in numbers. come from, as long as you're a black, you're an African. Don't care where you come from, as long as you're a black, you're an African, yeah. Man, I touch you Africa without the shackles and chain. Before the slave masters brainwash we brain. Some of the little voices them can't contain. The African blood touch me there, yeah, yeah.
You know we must strength in number.
None of the captives came here and went back alive.
Yes, that's Owen B. Heyman, artist. And I see we get the phone lines already beeping. I don't know, probably they want to give a word. So let's hear what they got to say. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
A pleasant good evening, Inner City and Scrooge.
Hey, yes. How can I help you this evening?
Sparky here.
Yeah. What, how can we help you this evening?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
All of a sudden, you're going dead. Far in the back there, your phone buzzed just now, and then you're going in the back, and
I can't
hear you.
Yeah, Axon, how can we help you?
Right here, man, I just called in show. I just wanted to compliment you today on that show you was on today. It was very... Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Scrooge, it was very enlightening. I wish you'd do more of that. I would like to congratulate you on the way you're doing. I'd like to say keep it up, and... I heard that song just now about Africa and behaviors and us unite.
Yes, sir.
And I wonder, Scrooge, sometimes, you know, there's something that we need to have a dialogue with why in our Bahamas, when we say forward, onward, upward, together, when we really look at it, Scrooge, we really don't speak together and act together.
That is correct.
When we see all the foreigners coming in, the Jamaicans, our brothers and sisters from the south, the Jamaicans, the Haitians, the Filipinos, and everybody, the Indians, and everybody coming here. But when we look in our country, and we talk about the Bahama Islands and Bahamians this and Bahamians that, and building this together, when we listen to the talk shows and what Zedness and our movies here, we only see the blacks interacting and trying to build the Bahamas. We have the Bahamian whites in here who are making up all the money around here, but we don't hear them, we don't see them, they don't celebrate with us, they don't be the Independence Park, they don't be the Junkaloo, they don't call in our talk show other than your boy, what his name, Rutherford, what his name is again?
Graham?
Graham Rutherford. Graham Rutherford is one of the only, I would say, Bahamian white boys that would get involved with Heather to build the Bahamas. But all the rest of the white people around here were making up all the money. Got all the marinas around here, got all the businesses around here, got making all the money, all the Solomons and all of the super values that every day and carries around them. We don't hear them interacting with us and helping to build a country. We know they're making the money. We know they're employing people, but we know they're filthy rich. But they don't seem to take part like the rest of us. We try our best to talk, to interact, to do what? We might be the ones causing the problem with the crimes and everything, but most of the reason we do it, I'm doing that, because we are the ones that are impoverished, we're starving, we're looking for a better way of life, and they're holding us back.
Yeah. But
they
anyway,
need to take part with us too. When we go,
yeah, hold on, Sparky. You know, I know you're talking, but you got to give time because, you know, we started to show you making some valid points, and I appreciate the comments you gave me earlier today. You know, I take that with pride because it's my passion to go out and speak for the less fortunate in the country. You know, I don't do this for publicity. I don't do this for prayers. I don't do this for me. You know, I do this for our country because I see we have a dying country. And I know very well, being as a leader in the gang warfare, I know what's been coming if we don't unite and if we don't strengthen our community and our country by supporting our local artists, supporting small businesses, get our unemployment down to where we could have a better Bahamas, and to make sure that we could have a single parent home at least can be able to sustain a livable salary to pay all their bills. So it's my duty to speak for that because I come from that. I'm still a part of that. So I appreciate that, and I know you're very passionate. But we have I have a guest on, and I really want to get his story. Your story was wonderful, Sparky. So yes.
Before you transition back to Kofu Warrior Grasshopper, I know some things that he said there,
it's
and just saying now. is important and ties into some of the work that we're actually doing, to be honest. From a personal perspective.
He's right.
From a personal perspective, some of the things he said is why I am deep in history. Yes. I want to know that story, our story, because the story that's painted to us doesn't really give us an empowerment feeling to say, do a bit more, right? He talked about, you know, the white men stay behind scenes. You don't see them, hear about them. Interestingly enough, growing up, I'm a light born, right? Mm-hmm. So I've heard about the European, Scottish light born's history.
Yeah.
I know all of that, but I don't know nothing of the other side of who my history, where I am at, right? And so this is what's a bit of what Sankofa Flamingo, the organization, is about. This is what took us into Ghana. Mm-hmm. We want to understand our history and how could we better be stewards in our own, in this country here.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Bridge the unification link between our people in Africa and our people here in the Bahamas, because we are children of Africans, you know, the great kings and queens of Africa, and we were taken into slavery, our forefathers, and brought here into the Western world, and we were inhabit these parts, which you call the Bahama Isles, the ICC. And so now that we already went forward to Ghana and connect with our people there and bridge this connection in Ghana, they are looking for their children to come home, which is I and I, them people here in the West. So what the brother, like my, the add on to what my brother here on Kufu Warrior was saying, and also the brother we're calling just now, yes, we are under attack financially, we are under attack culturally and also spiritually, and getting ourselves together as Bahamians here in this country, and as African Bahamians, I like to say, because Africa first and, you know, Bahamian comes second, so we was Africans before anything. So African Bahamians here in this country have to know that we have to unite and pool our resources together and start to deal with independent businesses, start to support each other's independent businesses, because over the years, you hear the brother speak about the foreigners who come here and they make a good living, but they don't really show nothing back to the country. That's where we come in. That's part our fault as well, because every time a Bahamian open up a business here, he don't get or she don't get support from our own people. But if a foreigner come and open up a business, we intend to support the foreigners more than we support our own. So we like to say support each other. We like to talk unity, but we don't show an action. Until we use these words in action, it will be meaningless, because a word or anything is meaningless unless its action is applied to it. So when Bahamian open up businesses, whether it's restaurant, clothes store, whatever, we should go there and support that business. When the artist bring out a song, we should go there and buy his song. Strength, we should go there and show strength in that, because that's the only way we can bust that, you see? You watch the rest of our brothers, counterparts, Caribbean counterpart brothers, the Jamaicans, the Trinidads, whatever, when the artists come out overnight, by next Monday, them bust internationally because of the support they get from their own. Here in the Bahamas, when an artist come out, they more time find fault to discriminate the lingua of it, or what y'all look sign, the sign of Jamaican, or y'all trying to... Once it's a Bahamian delivering the message, it is a Bahamian who doing it. Don't care what lingua we deliver it in, because all of us are connected as brothers and sisters.
That's why we sound the
same. In the Caribbean, so we all adapt and take on to each other. Yes. Those same Jamaican people who y'all think, they also learn from the old school R&B singers, the Smokey and the whoever. They learn from them. Bob said in interviews how he used to listen to Barry White and different people.
Michael Jackson said it too.
Yes, we all inspire each other, so... We need to start criticizing each other's talent and just help support each other and help each other to get it. Because some of us artists, we be doing this for years and years and years. We don't get support from radio stations mostly. We don't get support from our own, from promoters who do concerts. They wouldn't reach out to artists to say, put them on stage, give them something to perform, whatever. You know, it's like, we don't help push each other, Dredd. And you watch a lot of talent stifle over the years. I watch a lot of my brothers who I was in this together from long, long time ago. I wouldn't call their names because I don't try to bring no shame to them. But you know what I mean? And I watch their career, like they just give up and some just widow and fade away because of the lack of support, Dredd. You see, we need support as artists in this country. We need our own people to look at our music and see that we're trying to bring a positive message. We also trying to feed our families. It takes money to go in studios, to record, to produce, to shoot videos, to buy the clothes, to wear in the video, whatever. All these things takes money. So in order for artists to prosper, we need you to support our music so we can keep bringing this good music to the people, this upliftment to the people, you see, and also inspiring others that they could do the same thing, you know what I mean? And also as it grow, you could help employ and all brothers and sisters into this thing as it grow and get bigger. You see what I'm saying? But that's the main thing, you know, just we need more support, man, you know, and we need to stop using the word unity, using the word bohemian so loosely when we're putting action behind it.
And especially this Christianity thing, right? Mm. Because when you talk about Christianity, that's supposed to bring us together. But it seems like Christianity divides us because it seems like those who say they're Christian, they decide to just stay in the forward. No disrespect to those out there who are doing the Christian way. No disrespect to them. It seems like sometimes they think they're better than the sinners. They call us sinners because if we're not in church, they call us sinners.
It's again goes through the syndrome of egos could kill any talent or movement. So even the Christian, the Rasta, and whoever, other religious organizations, whatever, you have people in there who have certain type egos. So ego could be the killer to all movement and talent. I see, but the main thing is that we supposed to know that we are all black people. And we are all suffering in the same boat, going through the same oppression.
Yes.
So we have to put religion aside. We have to put all these different type, denomination, whatever it is you in, put it aside and come together on one purpose that we are black and we suffering the same oppression.
Yes.
And the only way we can overcome is to unite with strength in numbers.
Yes.
There's a unification that I like to point to, a culture. I mean, we are so much divisive. You know, stuff in society, religion, you know, creed, all this stuff. But culture is something that we all share.
Mm.
This is one of the things that Sankofa Flamingo is focusing on, the culture aspect and who we are that connects and unites us all, right? So we're trying to understand what is that? What is it to be Bohemian? I mean, again, most of us, I think we know more of the European history, but there is such a vast wideness of who we are that I think if we expand on what is culture, it helps us to make these bonds, to see the next person as someone, not as a competition.
Right.
But someone who can, you know what I'm saying? I can elevate and get elevate me. So this is going to be a huge part of what we're trying to do with, you know, with the, you know, back and forth between Ghana, the pilgrimages there, and trying to get our history back into the now, the present.
Yeah, I'm going to side petty prejudices and come together on unity, you know?
You know, you guys ring a bell. You know, I was watching the NBA the other day, and I was watching some interviews with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, and then you had, like, a few other players, you know, from the old school. And you notice what I listened to? All of them was complimenting one another. Sometimes Larry Bird would say, Magic better than them. Magic Bird would come back and say, Bird better than them. Then they'd come back and say, Michael Jordan better than them. Then Kareem would never say he better than nobody, and they'd have Kareem, and then he'd still say, you know, Bill Russell is the man because he get the most championship. You know, so what I'm saying is this, but when I listened lately, LeBron James has achieved his goal and Michael Jordan has achieved his goal. We get this competition between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. First of all, LeBron James is a successful black young man. He's taking care of his family and he's taking care of people. Michael Jordan is in the same position and he's taking care of his family. So the two of them are successful. Why are we comparing LeBron James and Michael Jordan when we should be acknowledging them for just being successful?
Because simplicity and judgment, being humble nowadays, is no longer, like I say, ego is the main thing. Now everybody have to be flamboyant, have to be that I am the one to do it, or that's most of the thing will go around here in the Bahamas as well. The reason why you don't notice much Bohemian artists also elevating themselves is because they separate from each other also.
Uh-huh.
We get in a fight from the radio stations and from our own people who are not supporting us, but at the same time, we're fighting amongst ourselves.
Yes.
I think because we're fighting for position.
Yes.
We want to say we're the best artist, or we're going to be the first artist, or all these different egos. And that's what is keep us down. If we come together, okay, there's so much artists here in this country, right? You will see Jamaica's up, sandblasting, whatever.
Yes.
You see Trinidad, whatever. Wherever in our Caribbean, people practice their thing. You understand me? We here in the Bahamas have a lot of talent, have a lot of land, have a lot of whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't see every year, once or twice, a show going on with highlighting Bohemian artists them for 2 or 3 days straight. And if it do see it, you see it's a calypso thing. It understands, like, it's a fight between, there's still this
thing.
People always saying, okay, y'all try, do Bohemian, sing Bohemian, be Bohemian, but to be honest with you, haven't we been attacking the same subjects all these years?
Yes,
entertaining tourism?
Yes.
Haven't we been singing about the food, the sand, the sea, the straw basket, and all these years? Now, how much things that do we go through as Bohemian people?
Yeah.
How much things we have been going through politically, everything? You don't think we should attack that in our music?
Yes.
And when we attack it, why do we get a fight? Because we're not singing about straw basket and the sun and the sand.
and the sound, they say the sound is supposed to be only the, you know, the what is the saw and the rake scrapes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be a couple of days ago, yeah, we kind of touch on specifically always. Again, kind of culture. Again, we have narrowed our culture so thin where we don't understand that, I'm sorry, Bahamian is a vastness in who we are.
In expression.
Expression stress. It's endless in that expression. Yeah. So anything that me as a citizen of the Bahamas represents and brings out, that's
Bahamian, but I think we don't care what dialect I bring it or whatever, I still a Bahamian who bring in that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a major part we're going to be doing with Sankofa Flamingo in terms of cultural exchange, right?
Yeah.
Just to kind of press this point on that we may be Bahamian here, but it's vast and it expands through food, through dance, through the way we talk, the way we dress, and all of this.
Yeah.
And it's a lot stemmed from our Western African influence.
Yeah.
Very much so, right? So the ask, what is it to be Bahamian? I mean, it's a little touch of this, it's a little touch of that, it's a little touch of everything. So we need to embrace that and stop trying to pigeonhole us in what we think this Americanized European idea of is something supposed to be.
I know my interpretation of what's being a Bahamian. This is my interpretation. Do unto others as you have others do unto you. That is quite simple, my interpretation of being a Bahamian.
To me, the way I look at it, Bahamian is just another word that is used to put upon us, like you have Haitian, whatever like that. I look at us as African people, black people, and
that's the independence tool us.
In these parts.
That's the tool us.
Yeah, and anywhere we are, we supposed to be able to practice our Africanity, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
By being descendants of African, because the true Bahamians are the Caribs and the Arawaks and them.
Yeah.
They were the really true Bahamians.
Yeah.
They were the ones who owned this place.
And guess what? They just did a DNA check. They find two Lakayan body, they mailed them on one island, I think it's Abaco Elutra. They were just out there. And they did a DNA test on two well-preserved bodies in the sand. It was in the sand, so it was well-preserved. So they then, from the student, some scientists came from Florida University, came down to the Bahamas to do a DNA extraction. And they were able to do a DNA extraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then they must have used the Princess Margaret Hospital DNA matchup. And you know what their analysis came back and said? That the Arawak Indians are still here today. Names us. You don't believe me? This was in the newspaper. This was in the newspaper. This was in the newspaper a few years ago. I don't forget nothing. Anything I read that is important.
Screw, let me tell you why I 100% believe that. I leave my grandma's one.
My grandma told me. She told me, said that's why my forehead flat and my hair flat because we Seminole Indians came over from Florida and then down in Red Bay, Andres. That's why most Androsians basically got Indian descent in them.
So let me explain why I accept that guy. And again, this ties into we talk about culture.
Yeah.
Because the economics of what brought us out of Africa is why things are kind of shaped and modeled the way that it is, right? And we see land being taken over with that same economic mindset.
Uh-huh.
So they came and they gave the impression that they conquered and killed all of the living civilians here. So they could lay claim to the land.
Okay.
Which people live in here, this is why the story is. They killed them all. Yes. I don't believe that.
No, they didn't.
You can't kill everyone.
So let's transition.
What about the slaves you took in? What about those people who
ran away? What about
those that was hidden?
We can travel.
It's too much process. It's important to understand
these.
They specialize in canoes.
And traveling.
You know? It's important to understand these nerds. These narratives and these stories, because this is how they trapped us into this slave mentality still that we still in.
Now listen to the words. Christopher Columbus is the first person to discover the New World. Yet Christopher Columbus wrote in his journal, along with Hernandez brothers, who were both black, and he wrote, he saw the most beautiful set of people in the world here in the Bahamas. So listen to this. Christopher Columbus is the first person to discover the world. Yet still they are both people.
I would say he was told where to go by Pedro.
Yeah.
And you know, and
that's right.
The navigator was on the ship. It wasn't him telling him nowhere he was going.
And I guess indigenous. So, you know, like he said, the truth comes out. But the whole point of what we're trying to say is, and brothers, I don't want us to get confused too. When we talk about the Europeans, we must talk about our political leaders who have been holding us back in the last 50 years, who had the power to support all of our initiative, who could support the small business, who could support the music industry, who could support the farming industry. We had the power for the last 50 years.
Well, guess what? Not cutting you over, but what's the problem with that whole situation? It's always been a problem with it because we are divided and conquered.
We started to fight between the F&M and PNP.
And then he has the vision until we can strength in numbers.
We have it. Nah, because now you see, brother.
This may be our contradictory comment, right?
Go ahead.
Say it. The caller that called, right? Uh-huh. He said, you know, we the ones in the forefront, the darker ones, uh-huh. We in the forefront, but the big money ones are behind.
Yeah.
We might have been the dark ones in the last 50 years at the forefront,
mm-hmm.
but they still weren't entirely leading. Were they really leading? Where's the money buys?
You see
what I'm saying? So they put us in the front and gave us this independence. And again, this tied to our whole ending.
Not independent. So-called independent.
So-called independent.
For that name. So-called independent. Let me tell you that.
Listen, for that name.
See, when you're talking, you got to listen to the leaders. So Lyndon Pendent said it himself. We're not fully independent.
We're independent.
The fight is over. It's just like Dr. King fight.
Mm-hmm.
When they got free the slaves and et cetera, they thought that was it. But you see, all that is happening in the U.S. now, let's give a prime example about the U.S. See, the Bahamas cannot let itself become like the U.S. Listen
mm-hmm.
why.
Mm-hmm.
In the U.S. right now, as great as the U.S. was now, as great as it was, it was a place that everyone wanted to go 20, 30 years ago. But the U.S. right now has deteriorated with hate. You can see by the mass shooting just the other day, we saw a young gentleman actually sort of out to go kill innocent people. I'm not even saying black, but it was a target to get black people.
Let's be specific. They were all black.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Uh-huh. And then if you look at other mass shooting, you see, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's rare we had a black man who went on the subway and shoot up some mm-hmm. people. That's one out of 1,000 where mm-hmm. we're seeing police officers in the U.S., especially officers who are white. They're in the Klan. It's not going to change in the U.S.
You know what I notice about our country? Okay, when we here deal with it, right? We say we independent and this and that, right? But all independent countries, you'll notice their money devaluated. You're no longer dollar for dollar, you become independent.
Yeah.
But what I believe our people is, we are afraid to start over on our own.
Yeah.
We are afraid to give up this British sovereignty
and
start on our own.
Yes.
And as long as we under the British colony and the sovereignty of the British people, we got always be able to pay her and pay a tax to a hefty one, and also just for that name independence that we don't get to use by our liberty, our living. We still feel like slaves in our own country in the 2022.
Of course.
Because of our financial style, because we're paying all this money for the so-called independent name mm-hmm. that we so like to brag about, we like to show off, we like to run the Haitians and run the Jamaicans and run and talk to everybody bad. Oh, we used to be him and it's our country. But you suffer in your country more than anybody else, my Lord. So what you bragging over, I don't understand.
Right.
You understand me? You just bragging over a name, like a brother killing a block that don't belong to them, killing for the block. This our block, blood trips. And that in your block, some Jewish guy or some other person owned that block thing. You are fighting over Bohemian name.
Yeah.
When the queen owned this place, King still.
You know,
we paid almost $1 million for them to come here and visit us. We paid for them to come here.
Yeah.
You know, so independent.
Yeah.
Until we get the courage enough to give up this so-called British sovereignty and claim our true independency.
Yeah.
Let our money get devalued. We don't care. We have 700 islands of undeveloped islands, my Lord, so much that we could start producing and trading to the rest of the world. My Lord, we have to start.
Not only that,
King.
Don't forget, we have the sea floor that extends thousands and thousands of miles.
We are talking about these birds, but the other people to keep us going.
That's actually a farm out there.
The ocean
bottom floor is actually a farm.
Outside of that as well, too. And again, you know, when I say culture, a couple days ago, you know, what's going on? Well, again, when we're trying to make this connection and bond back to Africa, so we are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Africa has said the diaspora is our 55th. Country.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? They're looking to reach out to us.
Yes.
The Chinese man get the whole China to go back and call on if they're an issue.
Mm-hmm.
The European get the European to go on to call on. Us as Africans, where do we go in the diaspora? We only have our Bahamas. We are greater than what we think we are. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? We just need to reach back as they're reaching out to us. We have minerals that we can still say, you know. We could bargain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we can bargain.
We already have Jamaica and Barbados is making these sister connections between back to their heritage. We need to be doing the same. This is what our trip to over there is to
do. And that's why we need smart businessmen to separately, independently. And that's why I say our political leaders again. See, this way, see how we talked about all that. But it still has to go through our prime minister them to stamp these things off and to pass these laws in order to empower us. And for some strange reason, F just don't fit their criteria on the way how we do business. Because the Bahamas is the corporation. This is what people don't understand. Y'all need to understand this. Understand this. Understand this. The Bahamas is a corporation. All right? Let me just tell you this.
And the Bahamas are commodities.
That's what y'all don't understand what's going on. I got to figure this out. You know, I'm doing studies now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's a business.
This is a business.
Big business.
This is a big business.
Humanity ain't considering this is a business.
If you understand what the Bahamas, when we came on those ships, and some of us wasn't on ships, some of us like were free, some of us like navigators, because like I say, you can't kill a whole nation, you can't capture a whole nation, all right? You look at Ukraine right now, as sophisticated as Russia is, people still getting on the Ukraine some way, somehow, even though they get the latest missiles and etc. I'm just giving you a prime example that families still get away. Pompeii, when the volcano erupted, they saw footprints where people got away from the volcano. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to you, don't care how big the Roman army is, even in Judea, Jerusalem, when the Romans came, we still escaping nearby Africa, right? Am I correct? They said many of us fled and went into nearby Africa.
But we had great wars like Hannibal, who conquered them and moved to an elephant and conquered Rome, man.
Okay, that's what I said. Yeah. And we civilized Europe twice. All right, yes, the Moors and the Mekians.
The Moors, for a long time. All right, then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, what I'm saying is that we... Okay. Here's the thing. Our leaders, right? We started a program supporting the music industry, all right? We start to get record deals. We start to go internationally. When the cruise ship coming, you guys start to participate, getting a little cut here. Events come on, like the Junkanoo Parade or Independence, you guys performing. Then other stuff would come up, like the Queen or the King coming here again, or I mean, like the Prince coming here again, where you guys could perform. Now, everything is going smooth. If our administration come into power now and sees that and don't like that, they stop it. See, and that's the main reason I'm talking about. How can we move away from that to have sustainability to see that we have to continue?
Until our political leaders who empower the lead stop fighting one another every time another one come in power, the government change, instead of them trying to make the country better and work on plans to bring it into a better state of mind, they be worrying with the other person did who was their last, and they be trying to counteract that, and they be trying to compete with that, or be trying to spite someone else. Okay, if you was here and you give that person a little piece of some privilege or sign some papers for them to open up a business or do something, when another person can say, okay, you was a hardcore FNM or you was this or PLP or whatever, so now I am power, I can take that rights back from you because the person who gave that to you was my opposition or my opposer or however it be. But we all have to realize, don't care who come into power, it still boils down again that we all are one people. And everybody, all leaders should be working together besides fighting one another on how they can bring our country into a better place where others can survive a little. Because at the end of the day, don't care how much the government change and switch up, the people and the problems still remain the same. You see, I said we need to expand. We need to do better. We want to broaden our horizons. And we need the leaders who are put in place, who was elected, because governments don't rule the people. The people rule the government. Governments, the people don't work for governments. Government work for the people. They were elected to do a job for the people. So the people is their employers. You can't go on a job if a man hire you. And you can't go on this job and say you want to do what you want to do on the job. You want to sit down, you want to come on the other, because you get fired. Same thing with the people. If they hire you to do a job as a leader, you could also be fired too, because it's called electing you or voting against you in this country. So we need all leaders to come together and know that we all are one brothers and sisters. Work together whether it's behind the scenes or whatever, on how you could carry the country into a better state instead of coming into power and competing with the next person who's been there and all that. And it's just be this competition thing going on, or who's the better leader, or who's the better party. But none of them could be better leaders or party until all of them come together, because they still want people and still want problems.
Yes, we have the
right. I'm going to turn that around entirely. The leaders will do what we need them to do. So I say us. I bet the onus on us as the people. Absolutely, we need the right leaders there, but leaders come at us too.
That's
right?
What I'm talking about.
The onus needs to go on us. Right, I'm using economic terminology, opportunity cost. As a collective, an opportunity cost simply is I give up of this opportunity to gain something greater.
Yeah.
I need a time. As a collective, I'm sorry, we need to do opportunity cost. We need to give up some immediate opportunities so we can allow ourselves to come back to a bit of a drawing board and understand what is it that we collectively want. Right? Again, I go back to culture. Culture drives what it is to collective everyone. Not necessarily government, you know. Mm. Not necessarily policies and laws. They enforce. But the culture, which is somewhat unwritten, unspoken, it's just something we all agree that we tend to do. That's what drives our actions in our everyday, in our everydays, right? So we need to go back to the drawing board, because we've allowed the United States to kind of influence us in terms of what is our culture.
And you saw.
Right?
Yeah.
And the United States... I got really out of a long point on this the other day. The United States... Is a wayward child. Literally, that's all it was. They were under the feudal system in Europe and so forth. They said, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I want to go rule myself. I want to be free and do whatever I want. So they left there and they went to the States and created the States and fought for their freedom. I said, freedom, I have rights of freedom. I'm sorry. Culture is important, because culture encapsulates things that you should do, things that you should not do.
Yeah.
Things that make sense, things that do not make sense. Collectively, you cannot have free reign and say free is everything. No.
There's a direction. That's something that is
important. Rules and regulations.
So
yes, yes,
yes,
and no.
Ministry of Culture, you know, we're talking some levels of that. Ministry of Culture, that needs to be put to the forefront of some things. You see what I'm saying? We need to demand what is it, our culture, from a top-down perspective, from a grassroots perspective. Up. Yeah. Agree what we want. I want us to go back to where... I'm walking down the street at a strong random stranger. Good morning, how you doing?
Yes.
That's regular.
Yes.
It's familiar structural ties.
Seeing a nice,
it's our culture.
Seeing a young lady dressed properly. Seeing
you
a
see
young
what I'm
man
saying?
Dressed properly and
you
saying good morning,
saying?
Good afternoon, etc.
So what do you notice when we were in Ghana, right? All the young
people. That's why I don't get to that.
This is the part
that's
I
don't get
about.
To that.
I love the culture. Oh,
that's
my
what
God.
I don't get to.
I love it.
I want to get to that.
God.
So hold on, let's do good then. Yeah. Let's get this juicy part. Let's get this. I want to talk about the way the ladies dress or whatever. So let's hear this now. So you guys left from here to go study, baby. What a name, John Hardbenong?
John Kwa.
Which relates to Ah John Canoe.
Yes.
So you guys wanted to find out the original, authentic
the origins
of John Canoe.
Yeah.
So you left from here and went to Ghana to do a music video. At the same time, you all went to get some information.
Not specifically do a music video. We left from here to go and do this work to connect the people, because my Nana Christopher David Shango, Nana, who was working for years with the Hunter people and on researches and stuff like that, he was tying in certain historical connections from here to the Bahamas.
Okay.
And by doing that, when we be on this trip, that was mostly our part to go there and to deal with more of the connection works.
Research, yeah.
But in during that trip,
we
capitalized on the opportunity to shoot a video.
Okay, excellent, excellent. You guys are brainstorming too.
So a bit of backstory. Sankofa Flamingo is the organization,
right.
A non-profit organization steeped in research and historical relevance,
right.
And telling our narrative, correcting our narrative, right? So our main researcher and founder, Christopher Davis, you know, has done some extensive research. He works with the Pompeii Museum, and the research took him into understanding the origins of John Canoe,
right,
which stems into West Ahanta. It was more of a commemoration of a character and a hero, a chief called John Quow.
Number
of the stories that we've heard growing up, meaning, you know, John Canoe was a slave who came over here and asked the governor, you know, these kind of things.
We're
finding out the character was a chief. He was a warrior. He was a fighter that fought the Portuguese, that fought the British,
Spain.
That fought them against enslaving
oppression.
You know, their people, their warriors, for a long period of time. And so... when it finally kind of broken down and the first slave ship came over here, 1721, they brought some of John Quah warriors.
Okay.
And so as they came, it were 235 of them, and they met about 220 or 250 in here. So the culture came here and they started commemorating what they were doing.
Right in the Bahamas.
The
connection between the Bohemian and the people in the Hunter-Gunner.
Right.
So that's what the research was all about.
Right.
The bridges together to show you that there is a direct link.
You're saying right now is the descendants of these people. We got the Arawak Indians DNA from the scientists from the University of Florida, which was found. Yeah, now you guys have your own information.
So
you're trying to tie in everything now.
It would be those that would have that was here.
Yeah,
you know, and then was for transported
generation.
Now genetically,
so now you can have the Arawaks interacting with the slaves that was brought here, and they could have formed their own.
That's what happened.
After some time, you know, you've had our influences come. Genetically, we differ in terms of our DNA and whatnot here, right?
Yeah.
But the culture was heavily influenced by those first set of ship that came from West Hunter in Ghana, the Hunter tribe.
Uh-huh.
And you could see a lot of the culture in what we do today.
Even with the junk canoe, the way they practice junk canoe there,
they used
the cowbells, they used the costumes, the mask. Only difference we have is the big costume, the large ones. But it's the same format.
Same DNA
going through the system. Cowbells, horns blowing, Russian dancing, singing. Same thing, man.
Some of the interesting parts of it, too.
If you look on the video, when we shoot there, you look at the video, you'll see a lot of it right now.
Tell the general public where they can go to get this video.
On YouTube, my page, youtube.com, Raskopper. You'll see the Militant Warrior Raskopper. You can subscribe to the page also for more content and future content. But you can go right to youtube.com, Raskopper, and you'll see my lineup of music, mixtape, videos, whatever, you know, all conscious and positive vibrations that I say and represent for my people. You don't know how to go.
And all men should look at it. All men should look at it to see that where we came
you'll
from.
You'll see it. You'll see the video.
Numbers will give you some insight as to what we did over there. There was career
I saw the village chief. I saw the village chief of the same country stating that he want to apologize for the slave trade, and he wants people to come back home.
Like I said, we met with the king, and this comes to the last reigning king, oldest reigning king in Africa right now. We met in his chambers with him, and we had discussions with him, and he gave us the blessings, and he wanted us to come home, and he gave us the blessings that carry out this work also. You see, so we had a lot of blessings from a lot of chiefs and elders.
All right. So.
The part there, and this is something we talk about this all the time, in terms of the chiefs there apologizing to us for selling us into slavery, right? That's a bit of a touchy subject because, I mean, I'm sorry, y'all weren't the ones
who sell us.
With the idea to say, you know what, I want to sell some of my people. No. If it wasn't someone buying, would you be selling?
Right.
And they talk about our chiefs doing the sellings.
Yeah.
And then a lot of time, you're not cutting you off, Robbie.
Depression.
Because I don't want to, this is important, I don't want to interrupt. A lot of time you hear this terminology come about black people sell their own black people. That is a bunch of folly too. Because you have something called a system of where you have servants, where you have war, tribal wars. Now, if tribal wars go down, in tribal wars you're allowed to kill your enemy or enslave your enemy or imprison them.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly what would happen, when these tribal wars go down, they would capture these people and then they would sell them as a part of punishment and say, okay, instead of killing them, we'll sell them or something like that. So most of that gone trading system gone down through tribal wars and stuff being practiced, but not just to say our people just run off our people and sell them. That's a bunch of folly. In other words, that's like the enemy trying to put the blame on the German victim. You see how you say it?
So the apologies is, you know what, we did what we did. We apologize because we didn't understand entirely what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
They were tricked. They were tricked into falling into doing what they did. And there's a difference between the captured slaves or our warrior tribes of other tribes that would become a part of your tribe now, and chattel slavery, which would happen when the Europeans came. There's a difference there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what part of the story is coming out with this narrative, John Quow? It differs a lot from what we have been told is the story, and that's important because we need to understand the hunter tells the story and the hunter only tells the story in a way that the hunter looks good.
Who wins the war, writes the book, and
The story that we're coming out, and the strength in numbers starts to give you an insight of some things that we experienced, and we're coming out with a documentary and a series of documentaries as we expound on this research that gives us more of an empowered feel, an empowered look and understanding of who we are, our history, which will help us in the day and time here today now and seeing ourselves in a different and better,
So, John Canoe is actually after this great warrior, and he demonstrated and he fought for his people because of slavery and et cetera. So we're celebrating over here. So I guess we need to understand exactly what we're celebrating, and that we're celebrating a great man who fought for us. And this is good knowledge. So you say you also talked about the culture. Now, they say men don't wear dress. Before we talk about the ladies, how do the men dress over there? Now, I know I watch Michael, what is his name? No, Michael Westbrook in the NBA. Now, yeah. that's a woman dress. I know the Scottish wear dress. Now, I don't know that's not our culture, right? Yeah, so that, I can't criticize him. I don't know that probably his fashion or the way he living or whatever, but then it was made to the media, so I could comment on it. It looked like that is a feminist look. Mm-hmm. But how do the men dress in Ghana?
Stylish. I'll say that. Princely. It's stylish.
Princely.
Listen to me.
Right, how do you dress?
It's stylish. Ghana is one of the fashion capitals within Africa.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Everyone colorful. They dress nice. They dress to impress. In a sense. And it expand a bit
and
more.
It's like, and it's sharing the ass. Like how we over there.
No. I know. Showing it, but they outfits when they show their body, because you know African women are beautiful in shape. You know, black women shape.
No, I mean the woman I talk.
The man in the
I just try to show the difference between Arabian man and American women.
Oh, king down there.
That's what I go. You see,
I'm saying
the culture. You talking about the culture? See the culture? So I try to say we need to get our culture.
I understand you. Yeah,
starting to see some of that American culture kind of being
likely.
They starting to do the bleaching and number. The religion, you know, it is there, but they hold on to their traditional ways very strongly.
Mostly practiced by the young teenagers who are coming up.
Yeah.
They're trying to take on to that foreign because old people and the ancient people set in their ways, but they love their culture.
So tell us about the female. How do the female dress? You guys are smiling. Are they beautiful?
It was only one interesting point I wanted to talk. Again, this is culture. I mean, these things are steeped into their culture for a reason. They have a way that they distinguish young ladies from mature ladies.
Say that again. Distinguish young ladies from mature ladies. That
basically, don't touch, don't look. Because you know, we have this culture.
They off, they off, they that 13, 16, off age.
They stay in school.
They had bald head. So, bald head means do not touch.
That's a young girl.
So that means if you touch them, that means you finish.
If you up to 17, 16, 17, you had bald.
Hold on, let me get this. So we're asking for protection of males and females, and they're saying like you should give consent at the age of 15, 16, they think they're raised now. So back here, what you're saying they're doing in similar fashion to warn the predators that do not touch. So when this young girl here is cut, that means she's underage. That means do not bottle.
Plain and simple.
So that's the rule.
That's the law.
And they obey
you'll
that.
You see all the men seeking the young girls on the side of the road, and you don't see that. So men going after their own age.
Now,
I'm a big grown 46, 7-year-old man. I'm on the side road. A teenager's going to see her walk on a nice little screen. So I'm on the side road seeking her. So this stops all that in their culture.
Now, not to say we will stop.
I understand what you're saying.
If we walking by and see a grown man with holding a hand,
we know something wrong.
A young girl. All right.
That's like a Marco alert.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like
more like you see our young women over here when they're 14, 15, they start to wear womanish wide. They are appealing like a woman.
Right.
Over there, when you are able to dress like a young girl,
you wear long dresses. You always represent that. So I have no excuse. No.
I have no excuse.
No.
I can't say I know how old she was. Even though she looked mature, I can't say.
I live in Masibi, been over 7 different motels, right? Traveling so much right up and down. I never see one roach in Africa for bendecking. One roach. I say bragging because that's one of my biggest bragging.
What you talking about?
I never see a cockroach in Africa for my bender. I kill one cockroach in 2 weeks. Every place I've been in, I don't care where I was, I see a cockroach.
How much cockroach you killing the mama?
Oh, I kill cockroach all day. I do nothing perfect. Look at all these roaches around me every day. You just in Bahamas, roach and rat, all of them.
And that's another part of the country. In the morning, they go to the villages, they're sweeping up.
Who?
Sweeping up.
The whole village?
Everywhere, they're sweeping.
You can hear from 5 o'clock, you can hear these like, that's everybody sweeping. Clean. When they say clean, African people so clean. When they say clean, king. Lionheart, don't mind the Western propaganda, yeah?
Oh, please. Next to godliness.
I just want to be one call.
That's cultural. Let's tie into
the
culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear the term nigger one time.
What?
I ain't seen no one fighting. I ain't seen nobody beating children.
Hold on.
None of these things I'm telling you in 2 weeks.
So listen to me. You're trying to tell me every day you get a Vienna argument.
Not a row.
Vienna, the turn gets spanked.
We speak because this. One of the small differences between two people altercation, but it's just a verbal thing and it didn't last long. One, but it wasn't nothing very big. Like I say, I haven't heard no nigger term. I never see no one hitting no children or rowing or cussing children. None of them things then would be as behemoths practice from frustration all the time.
I didn't want to touch on, he said, we saw an altercation, right? And I have to touch it too because again, all of the cultural parts of things we notice that we're going to be bringing here, right?
Yeah.
How did the feels that situation?
Was amazing. Did they de-escalate the situation?
No police was involved in the scenario. Never even considered needing to have police come in and try to de-escalate the situation because of how their familial structure is set up, right?
Traditional council
or whatever operates. So there's two gentlemen, they got in a bit of an altercation because we were, you know, in the space and they were trying to figure out what's going on, right? You know what they did? The daddy of the two, and he's grown up, these grown men.
Mm-hmm.
These grown men.
Grown
older
men.
Than me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Their daddy came.
The eldest.
Their daddies was talking to each other, like, okay, what's the issue giving? What's wrong with you? What's
and
happening?
They said, like, council wide.
And they explained to us why that happened.
Lord.
The daddy can, and they say, this is how we deal with things. So if the family head can't deal with the daddy, then it goes to the village head.
Mm-hmm.
If the village head can now deal with that scenario, then it goes to now the chief. You see what I'm saying? You have these levels already stuck into their culture.
Listen. You see how important local government is. That's a symbol of
exactly
local
what
government.
It was.
You see
that's
how
exactly
simple
it is.
And that's the community leader.
Yes.
And what is missing today when you talk about the fathers came? If the fathers or all these young men who are in the court today were to go to court, sit down, or the church or community leaders bring them together, help them bring their son. Even though those two young boys can have an altercation, but with their fathers there, talking to one another, trying to de-escalate the situation, this is something good here. This is what we need here in the country.
So Sankofa Flamingo will be doing cultural exchange
y'all
programs
something good.
Just to do this. We need to influence this. It's crazy to me.
Yes.
Ghana is the happiest country in the world. On the quote, happy quote.
I saw it.
Happiest country in the world.
Why
right?
Is it happy? It's happy because they know how to deal with a village concept, and that's what we're missing here. The village concept.
The practicing of tribal things.
Yes.
That got
yes.
You know,
yes.
A tribe raising a child.
We were like that. We were like that 50, 60, 70 years
child.
Ago.
This
yes.
Maybe look at the village elder. As our council, we don't take upon ourselves now to say, oh, I'm a man, or I certain age. And
yes.
No. We go to someone who have experience, and we ask them, how could I solve this problem? I'm having a problem with my woman. I'm having a problem with my child. They will sit down and tell you how to solve that problem.
Right.
Unless you're going there beating up your woman or abusing your child or something, the elder will give you a sound advice.
That's like when the little Bella, when her parents were not there, she walk across the road to the old lady for help. You understand?
Mm.
So if we want to make these things, like what you're talking about, would we lost?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, we'd be strong because now we have that grandmother. She knows the whole community. The community is behind her. And we could be able to stop that tragedy.
We had it back in the day.
We had it back in the day.
We had it back in the
point,
day.
Right? Because mm-hmm. I need for people to understand why we've moved away from that. It wasn't organically happening. It was intentional.
It was intentional.
It's an economic
the family
strength.
Structure.
Plan.
The family,
family
structure.
Is
yes,
the economic
yes.
strength.
That's what I want everyone to know.
Down
yeah,
in order
for
them to be capitalized.
It was
yes.
a plan.
I want to say this to anyone who's listening to the show. I don't care what we do in this country, unless we get the family structure back together
yes.
in this country,
yes.
in
and
happen
and
for
and
us.
One of the biggest weapons
yes.
is being used is the infeminization of the black man.
Right.
All right? The black
independent
man is being
and the masculinizing of the women,
yes.
making them
yes.
independent.
We are a team.
The head of the home to take care of family. Women telling you, I independent woman. All I
don't
need you, man. It's a takeaway to break the unity.
Watch this.
You see, in the
structure. Man, right? Watch this. They mow their art. Let them see one roach. Let them see all under them. One roach.
Yeah,
and they jump
big,
and they see it. Hold on, listen to this. The tie and get flapped.
Yeah.
They don't need no man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man got to change the tire.
If something spooky going on in the yard, who you going to call? So you always need them at...
Don't care how much independence you think you claim, man is always the head in the protection.
Yes. Let me say
because that's the way the most high designing and creation.
Yes.
Just so now. You could operate solo. It don't think you can.
No.
But you say, what is the best structure?
It's the best structure
is having that masculine, feminine complement together to create that family. Because again, we understand that family is the core structure of any strong...
Unless you're a no-good man, then the woman could go independent. Or you're a no-good woman.
Yeah, he's a
no-good woman or ungrateful woman or ungrateful man who ain't fit to have a nice, decent woman who abiding by the rules and working along with the program as you lead as a man.
As dominion.
Yeah, and just as the man.
As the terminology being used as dominion.
You fit to lead that person.
Say that it means to control or to abuse, but to protect,
not to control or abuse.
To help complement them, to help complement you.
Not the man.
When you say dominion, it means to take care of something, not to control it and abuse it.
No, we're not in it.
Being serviced.
Yes. But call us when you finish.
Right, this is again where the community comes in.
You talking?
Comes in at the same time too, right? Single mother should not even exist as a terminology.
Yeah.
No.
Because you exist in a community, so you are never single and raising a child.
Yes.
Even if the daddy is not present, you still have a community around you.
You get the godchild, you get the pastor,
you get your neighbors.
Back in the day, then your older person, you have to tell me so on you. Or they call you and say, boy, come here, man, feed me today. Yes, say that, eat something. And that person will know you, and it's not me, so yes, how it is, man.
Yeah, this is the real... let me check the mic. The mic is on, right? Yeah, I'm just saying this. We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Noah.
Hey, teacher.
Yeah, man. What's going on?
That's teacher? No, that's teacher. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, what I like to say is that, you know, we are still slaves, you know. The mass of us are still slaves. We have slave salaries, you know, very low salaries. You know, we can't afford to buy good food and live in good house, you know. So, you know, and we can't even afford to have land. You know, the government won't give us the land. You know, and you know, I see that this government is talking about our tax to GDP. You know, we always talk about debt to GDP. What about our tax to GDP? It's something like 18%. In the United States, it's 25%. In the UK, it's 33%. You know, in the OECD nation, it's 33%. You see, so when you know, our government tells us, oh, they need to grow the economy, right? What sense in growing the economy if you're not taxing the economy? You see, and what kind of taxes we have? We have regressive tax. Where it's unfair to the poor. You know, all the experts in the world are telling us we need to bring income tax, you know, both personal and corporate. Our governments won't do it. Why? You know, because they're bought by the slave masters. You see, these people call themselves the millionaires we have. They're not masters, you know. They house slaves. The billionaires in the world are the masters.
And I can say this. Yeah.
You know,
they have power because, listen to this. Those same Europeans in, these same senators and lawyers and these firms here, they assign a contract in order for these people to do business in the country. Those people can't do no business in this country unless they
need it.
So we are very well responsible for exactly what goes on in this country. If you listen,
I'm saying they're responsible for our situation.
Yeah, they are.
The house lawyers being bought, they waking for the house. They waking for
some
the house.
Some of them ain't bought now. Some of them ain't bought. Some of them ain't bought. Some of them ain't bought.
But you name me one.
I can't name them, but I ain't going to be fool enough to believe that some of them ain't bought. Some man just greedy. We have seen it. Just not black. Some black men just naturally greedy. They don't care about nobody. We have a lot of people who are power in this country. They're greedy. And then they ain't concerned about nobody, but they self.
Right.
From you going in Parliament and don't legislate, like for the poor people, right? All you got to do is go and legislate the livable wage. No, but you complain about the multinational corporations who got to pay the livable wage, or the rich man who got to pay the livable wage. Come on. They don't want to bring income tax because they don't want to tax themselves and the rich man, the billionaires, the multinational corporations, they paying them. Not to bring the taxes. They're telling us that we got to go.
You hear what I'm saying? They're paying them. They're paying them. So because the greed, don't take the money. Say if you have integrity and you want to make change for your country, that don't mean you got to take the money.
And you have to realize again. See, you all have to realize again.
That's
we
right.
are not truly independent. We are employed. Our this country is employed by the British colony. So they get taxed. You have to understand, if you go on a man property and rent his building, you got to pay him a monthly rent. We are paying rent to the British from monarchy for his independent name. So not for these governments. You all people always attacking the government, but you all have to realize too, these governments are doing their job. They still employed. They gotta give their percentage over to their boss. You already understand that. And the little percentage would leave, we all scrabble over that.
Yeah, let's finish. Go ahead, call it.
So what they do? They when they go in parliament, they swear to the heir and successors of the crown. Why you? That's why we said calling the land crown land. That should be our federal land, not crown land. Why they want to continue to do
it. And who have the power to give up the crown land right in the country right now? Yes, do the Europeans, do the man who paying them off the power to give up the crown land? Let me ask that.
Give up your
British sovereignty. Give up the crown land.
Give up your British sovereignty and become truly independent, or you'll always be a slave.
Let me hear your answer.
And that's just the way it is.
Right. Ain't no just here to talk on you. We just having a conversation.
Yeah.
What you think?
So that on them. You see, in other words,
and they can give up the crown land. And the prime minister right now can give up the crown land.
Yeah, but watch me.
Who whoever you want, give it out to. Why do we?
Listen,
that's my point exactly.
Watch me. If he was to give out the crown line to the poor people, you know what can happen to him?
What can happen to
him? They can set him up to get rid of him. You understand him? They can set him up to get rid of him. So he's serving because he's doing their business.
The prince was just down here the other day, and the prince said he support if the Bahamas want to be a republic or what. He said whatever the government of the Bahamas
decides.
He said
the British sovereignty.
He said that the prince just
because
said
as long as we are under the British sovereignty, you will never see yourself elevating this Bahamas. You'll cry for another 20 years.
The prince just said that.
You cry for another 20 years. Give up this British sovereignty. Come truly independent.
Go ahead,
the people want the sovereignty. The people want to be a republic. Why? And the prince saying they could. You know, why politicians ain't doing it?
I tell you, it's in the power of them. If you want power of the people, then you stick with the system.
We got to blame them for our situation.
Who we got to blame for the situation?
The politicians who govern us.
That's what I'm talking
about. Can't be afraid to start from scratch. We can't be afraid to start from scratch, man. Right, the only problem is we're so dependent on the British sovereignty that we're afraid to carry ourselves. Right. We need to carry ourselves. Thanks. Let go of British sovereignty and carry ourselves. They say we have enough islands, enough talented Bahamian people from high brain Bahamian people that can bring our country into some kind of prosperity without the British always so-called carrying us.
Have you had a next caller? Caller, you still there? Go ahead, caller. We have a next caller.
Good night to you and your guest.
He paying
we get what it's called.
Very interested in this show, but them two men on there, they got my interest because I'm an avid Chonkanoo from I was 8 years old.
Okay.
I'm almost 60 now, so I really tune into what they say.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But I also called to make a little correction. I hear you said the fellas that with his red dress. He ain't talking about no dress them Arabs. That thing what them Arabs be wearing.
Yes, sir.
What the Arabs wear, that is called a condura.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's not a dress.
No, yes, sir.
And the thing on the head is a tutorial.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Give thanks for that, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Give thanks for that, my brother.
You love that Islamic influence.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it, man.
The Scottish wear kilt. That is called a kit. But listen, you want to see something?
Yes,
I'd like to let y'all take it over because the show is very interesting. You see us relinquish the queen like a lot of our sisters in better countries totally.
Yes, sir.
Our dollar wouldn't be, waste wouldn't be waste toilet paper.
Money that we even have right now, the dollar is not backed by anything. We need to understand that. We need to understand what's going on globally right now with the socioeconomic global stuff right now, right? The dollar in itself is about to be devaluated.
It's crypto.
You see what Russia just did? Russia backed their ruble by gold. Backed by gold again. Yet back there. Every time an African leader tried to back their money by gold,
Gaddafi.
Last one. Why is this?
And you know why? The federal bank is the one who convert the from gold into the currency. And by owning, turning money into currency, that's where the federal bank become the owner, which is the so-called the high banking families.
Yeah.
So this is why President Kennedy was assassinated, because he said that, he gave a speech of saying that the federal bank should not be owned by no private entity, but by the American people. So as long as this money is be in a paper dollar form, we going to be judgment under certain...
Long as we believe that foolishness, that our dollar get devalued and we can't be functional anymore, that is what keeps us under this trap, this economic trap that we still in. You see what I'm saying?
We have too much offer to the world for our dollar, our value to go down because of our natural resources, of our strategic position, because we have so many that we can offer to the world. If you don't want to put taxes on us, you can't use our seas.
But watch this.
Take up the airspace.
But watch this. If you don't understand
you can't power, two things
that has made that so dread. If you don't understand the power of your resources,
that's right.
What you have and how to exploit it and how to benefit from it.
Yes. Maximize, because that's what they do.
Someone else will come in and benefit off your wives and make you mine your own gold and come out with it and give it to them to sell.
No one telling me this. I do my own statistics. They say North Korea and South Korea is the most protected place in the world. No. The Bahamas is the most protected place in the world because we have the U.S. Navy. We have the Cuba protecting us.
And British.
And the British. We have more nuclear subs in the Bahamian waters.
My brother.
Listen, the Bahamas. Listen, we have more nuclear subs in Bahamian waters than any other place in the world because we have channels, and they don't want no one to reach them, like places like Russia and Cuba sending subs and places where the communists like North Korea. So we have a protected base of nuclear subs set up in our waters to counteract any threat come from submarine.
My brother,
the Cuban embargo war.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. Know your history, Liv.
That's why Artec is here.
A submarine base.
Yeah.
Geographically speaking, right? You have something called air traffic.
Right.
You have something called road traffic. You have
maritime.
Something called sea traffic.
Yes.
From our sea traffic alone, we can make millions of taxing people that can pass into our water alone, my lord. I didn't talk about our land resources yet. I ain't talking about our sea resources yet. I just talking about our traffic, my lord.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Our just natural resources.
We play so good geographically on the map that everybody got to pass to us or else it'll take them extra time and we can go around.
Here's one of the reasons why what we're doing is we're pushing to make this connection to Ghana, right? I think based on what we're doing, we might be able to actually have our very first embassy in Africa.
Stop that.
The very first embassy. This is what we're trying to push you to, which is kind of crazy.
It's not kind of crazy. Go for it, brother.
What's the crazy part is we are a predominant black country, but we have absolutely no representation in Africa except for one consulate in Sierra Leone. But anyhow, I'm saying to say, and again, I go back to the opportunity cost. We will have to give up some of these opportunities that we get by being partnered with the U.S. and so forth for a minimum of time.
Become independent.
As we transition our partnering.
Become independent.
To the greatest
Africa,
continent,
my lord.
The richest continent.
Jaman, if you see the economical empowerment that we can have from taking our money here from the Western world and pumping it into Africa, because in Africa, the land there is much cheaper. To build a house much cheaper. We pass on the side of the road, and every 2 minutes, you can see another block maker. So a block is cheap, cheap, cheap. Would you pay $2 here for a block and $2.50 in JBI and in different places? You're paying 50 cents, probably 50 cents for a block in Africa.
Wow.
So guess what, my lord? You can build yourself a mansion in Africa for the money which you spend in here. Okay? Okay, I change up $200 American in Ghana. That get converted to $1,400, King. $1,400. You know how much money we spend in the same place? Or one pair of clocks, or one outfit, or one Remy weave, or whatever? My lord, 5-10 of them Remy weave can start your business.
Give us a say.
My Lord, you can start something, my Lord. That car which you're going to spend all that money on that rim for, that could have been your down payment on your land, King.
$3,000 car.
You see what I'm saying? So yeah, we investing too much in material things that ain't going to be profitable to us when we are not invested in the most richest and profitable thing that could ever be. It's land, my Lord, yes, and people.
Yes.
That's people.
Yeah, we have, like they said, we have 700 islands, 700 keys, and you know, we have to have options here in the Cumberland and the Bahamas. You know, that's why I always tell people, you know, we need to invest and check out these countries like Africa for those here. And I would say that's the most American. That's why when I say most Black Americans over there, you know, I feel it for you guys. I see some of you standing up for your rights and yours, trying to say, you know, what I've done wrong. Listen to me. What you have done wrong is you're going to a land that don't appreciate you no more. And the more you stand and say that, the more you're going to agitate those who hate you. Now, I'm not saying this is 100% in America, but it's obvious to see how many Black people are going missing. I see Tyler Perry advocating for two young men who went missing when a deputy sheriff was the one who apprehended them, but they were never again seen again. We are seeing where over 100,000 to... I think they say over 100,000 Black Americans going missing anywhere from the U.S. and Canada, and never to be found again. And the same thing with Tyler Perry. So I'm advising those out there who live in America, think about leaving, going to Africa, or come to the Bahamas. And those who are there, try to avoid yourself to stay from any altercation needing the police and the law. All right? When those police pull up on you, just show your identification, put your hands up, show your identification, record it, and stop talking too much because, listen, that is a system set up. It's obvious it's a system set up over there to get rid of Black people. The system is real. I'm not saying this like the offend America.
But like genocide, man.
But what we're seeing now with the assassination of Martin Luther King and then thousands of Black Americans, and like I said, going missing, never being found right now as we speak. So places like Africa, Acorn is in Western Africa, you guys need to try get out.
Same thing we're trying to do with Belial Bridge and our connection with the people.
I feel sorry for them over there.
The two most important things that we're suffering from, especially here in the Bahamas and in America, is a loss of identity.
Yes.
I see we forgot, the man forgot about their position as being the protector of the homes, the provider of the homes, and also the one to protect the village and everything like that, and everything, the warrior, all right? Warrior and the father. The women lost their sight of being the mother of creation who bring forth all nation, and also how to nurture a child and raise a child into the ways of their woman, true self and identity. The women have gone astray because they went astray because of the lack of strong support with man in the families and homes nowadays. All again, like I say earlier, because of the infeminization of the Black male nowadays, which is an attack on us, Black males. Once you get rid of the Black male, the home, you can take over the woman and the child easier, manipulate them because they weak them without the male support.
Yes.
So most of our young male brothers nowadays, killing one another on the streets, going to jail, and making themselves useless in society.
Useless.
And very useless. And all they're here for is to try to get some money to go buy some fashion and something like that. And that's what most of the young men nowadays think is being a man. Having some pretty clothes on, couple of laws in the pocket.
Toting a gun.
Yeah, toting a gun. And shoot someone. I dropped this one. I got this body on me and all that. That's something that was taught to you to turn you into a savage beast from a king, my Lord.
And I got this one.
Daisy.
Watch this now. I love this conversation. And how much of them who go before the courts or who during these serious, heinous crimes and some of the most serious set of criminals in the world, not one of them get $10,000 or $5,000 in their bank account.
And you know there's another hurtful part about it? The Mosai. If you look from biblical times, right?
Yes,
the Mosai always used warriors and man of courage and battle to defend him. And
not
use
to
them
crap.
And convert them. If these young men them nowadays could take the same energy, the same courageousness they have, and put it into doing something positive for their people in their race, we could have a strong, strong race. Because it's our young generation that we need. They're the future warriors. I say, saying if they go in a straight and they be manipulated into to killing one another and extinguishing their own selves, that I see, because Babylon can give you all the tools you need to destroy yourself, brother. That I say, saying.
Can I expound on that?
Correct,
the last
thing
you just said, right? So Babylon would give us the tools to eradicate ourselves or whatever, right? I talk from an economic perspective a number of times, mm-hmm. because I want most people to understand economics was the driver behind slavery and whatnot. Yeah. That was one of the main reasons. And we have to press on that because economics is the same reason why we are still in this mental slavery.
Yes, King.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, King.
We have been marginalized as a set of people. So some people can capitalize off
my Lord. Yeah. Yes,
and it's still happening.
We are
being put against ourselves. And I'm not taking the responsibility we must put against ourselves. We must be responsible for our own actions.
Yes,
but at the same time, we must acknowledge the outside actions
that we have towards us.
We commodity.
You see
what I'm saying? You generate money for the system. And then you can't generate money. They find you useless.
Yes.
I say you only here to keep building up their empire and their structure. But that structure and empire you building is to kill you out, my Lord. I didn't help build you.
Watch this then. We can end on this. Ask yourself a question.
Oh, but the end mine is so much
watch
more
this.
To go.
No, watch this. Watch this. How much is the Bahamas government worth? Right? Because we talk about everything.
Mm.
What do you believe our Bahamas government worth?
I know it's worth enough that we don't have to be living in 87.
Now, think about this. What do you believe the estimate worth of the PLP? And the FNM. What is their estimate worth over the years they're being a political party? And over the years, we have 200 years of governance. Then before we go into our independence, where we had self-governance last 40, 50 years. What do you think our government worth? And what our political parties worth?
A dollar figure?
Yeah, you know, like the Los Angeles Lakers. New York Yankees, from they came in perception, they have a net worth of a couple billion.
Mm.
So what you think our government worth?
Boy.
Okay, I don't know how much it worth, but I think I heard on Guardian Radio listening a few years back, laying down about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, Chicago lying itself. He's come on there.
Get some of my stuff from too.
So I don't want to quote him wrong. Yeah. So I'm going to say this by saying I'm not sure of the quote, but I'm just saying it for, you know, I think I heard Chicago Lang one time said that if the Bahamas government make, just say, 100%, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamas, the queen gets almost 80% of that, and the other 20% is what the government use to disperse amongst the Bohemian to do whatever we need to be get done. Now, I don't know why, like I said, I don't want to misquote him, but I think that's what I heard. You understand me? So if that's the case, if we're only making 20% of whatever we gross here, and should we have to send 80 to her, I don't understand what's going on. Now, like I said, I don't want to misquote him.
Now, listen, you already say 80% got to get sent to the Queen.
And 20%
plus. Sent to the Bahamas.
I think that's what I heard.
And I tell you, the Bahamas is a corporation. United States, United States broke off. And they have independence. That's why there can never be a king or a queen in the United States of America, because they're still under the British and they're paying taxes. Just 80% of the
they
taxes
own a long time.
That America has to send back to the queen in England.
America owned, British owned America a long time.
British still
owned
America.
I
was
Civil War all about. Country, king.
That's what the Civil War is about.
The queen
Canada.
Of England owns so much place in the world, but they don't want you
most
to know.
Most landmass. Then the Vatican. Then the Pope.
How big their wealth is, so they don't declare you.
Yeah, yeah.
In the same documentary, I watched that they own America.
Yeah.
America indebted them to this day.
Yes, yes.
From the George Washington crossing across the Delaware.
That's why they can never have a king.
And all that, and they said they fight, defeat England in the war and all
that. They're not.
That bunch of.
They come to agreement.
They owe them, buddy.
You keep Canada, I keep
they
America.
They owe them, buddy. They owe them.
There's some other layers to this story. He's always a stop. Like, you know, the king and queen.
Yeah.
They really kind of, you know, behind it, run and say, not necessarily. It's some money people behind them. Is it they only play, they only kind of play soldiers.
I know one thing.
They
done milking up so much that they don't care if we go independent no more and just say give up the sovereignty. They done milk us so much and so good.
It ain't only just that. It's because the corporations that still have us in lock.
We could
move the queen and so forth. It's the multinational, multi-billion-dollar corporations.
Now, watch this.
Now,
I'm glad we get to this.
They're making more money than the government.
I want you to get to this. Most of our senators are a corporation. What if I tell you that? And then to the politician. Now, they give up the right to own the corporation, but they pass it on to their family members, whether you're a senator. And they're the ones who get these foreign companies here to do business. That's why when you go to some of these business establishments, like look around, and I see the responsibility
that we can make the Bahamas better, but some of us are just business-minded. You know, business people only take business. They're
and
not concerned about the country.
And to be honest, not for these people who be in leadership, when they there in them time, they will mostly secure their own circle and themselves.
Right.
Business-wise, they'll buy businesses, they'll own things. So when they're no longer sitting in that seat, they could just go on and live their life wealthy. But see, all us be a part of the problem. See, real leaders, you see my brethren, Sankara, that I say, saying he was to live in a little small, little judgment, little thingy. He's the president. He's to give up everything. Or he never to own nothing. See, a real leader, you're going to always know a real leader because a real leader ain't going to have nothing, but his people got everything.
See, and guess what? A leader could be poor, but he rich. You know why? Because once you take care of the people,
you
are a blessing. You are a blessing.
You
rich.
Secure yourself.
You understand?
You mustn't provide for yourself. But you both always make sure that the people is happy. The people supposed to have it, my lord.
The Singapore president, Singapore prime minister did an awesome job at Singapore. Transformed Singapore into one of the greatest cities of all
time.
In
the last time that we was independent. They gained independence before.
And you see how he did what he did with his
and this is one of the reasons why Sir Lyndon Pinnon legend is always be spoke about for generations. You will always hear people say, they might have their little thing to say about Sir Lyndon, but you'll always hear them say Lyndon was a man of the people.
Yeah.
Under his reign, Bohemians had prosperity.
Right.
Everything that belonged to them.
We have a few more minutes. I just want to say this. And I was crying to my American brothers and sisters over there. And I want many of you over there to, when the police pull you over, just show your identification and stop asking, what have you done wrong? All right? You see that what I've done wrong ain't working. That look like there's an
easy way to kill you.
The police. So just present your identification. Stop saying, what I do wrong. You did something wrong. You know what you did wrong? You're in America, and there's a system out to get you. All right? And that is not going to change. Some things can't change. Now, for us in the Bahamas, for us in the Bahamas, we have black police officers. This is where you're getting again. See, this is where you're getting again.
Yeah.
We talk about the politician. But we have black police officers who are in uniform, and they themselves become Rome. Mm-hmm. They forget that me and you are brothers and sisters on the way, how we see enormous altercation on how they disrespect us as holding power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right? So this is what I'm talking about again. When the British left, we inherit the prison system, the policing system, the parliamentary system.
Yes,
and they say,
mentality.
They say, we who inherited became worse than the British in the prison system, on the police force.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying, even though we're saying the British caused all that. I'm not saying that, and I'm fully with that. But I want you to understand that when we inherit this police superintendent of prison and police, we forget and we use those positions to, because if he knows what goes on in prison right now, there's a lot of abuse going on in prison right now.
There's a reason why they have the terminology, house slave and field slave.
Right.
There's a reason why the master take the whip and give it to the black man and say, whip him. Because they don't want you to establish you to feel better. This is the Willie Lynch syndrome and teaching that I say, saying, get him to flog his own judgment, brother, and then he will feel better than him. And now this causes a discrepancy now, because the brother you flogging, he now have a hate towards you, and you have just a sensibility like, oh yes, I in control now. The master let me whip him now, so I in control.
So that's why we get the criminals and the criminals on the streets rebelling against the system, and we have the police. In some cases, during that job, diligently. But we have a problem, and they take it.
In other words, the police is the ones who have the power. Instead of them saying, I'm not going to whip my brother, I'm going to try to help him, they take the flog and they whip him too.
You want some community police saying, help your brother.
Let's understand where they're coming. We spoke about it. Loss of identity. We have to understand when those 400 years being forcibly under slavery did. It stole our identity, and it's easy now to put an identity on you.
Yeah.
So for me to tell you now that person over there, you need to... be Lord over him and eat your brother no more. It's easy to do when you have no identity anymore.
And guess what? Once you give an opposition, you take it gladly. And you say, boy, look here now. That's why you have on the jobs. You'll have supervisors who will be in certain position and they'll be getting carried away. That's why the brother been a song of supervisor. Because you have people who do not control the
position. What's
called
a supervisor?
Yeah, like what the brother supervisor or whatever. As in the brother bring on that song, the brother from Freeport. But like I say, right? It's because of the mentality of you don't know how to control authority in a position that's given to you of authority.
Yeah.
When you're in a position of authority, again, like we said earlier, it don't mean you must dominate and control people. It means to care. It means to protect. So if someone say, you are my supervisor, my job, your job is to care for the employees as well as the job.
Yes.
Because they make the job function.
That's
the job can't function without the employees being there.
That's right.
So if you treat them like old dogs and stuff like that, then you expect for them to perform properly or good under them circumstances? No. You see, I said, if you want someone to perform good for you, you carry a donkey in the field, you can give him water, you can give him food, you ain't gonna whip him all day. He can perform. But if you carry him in the field and you whack him and you beat him and you stab him and give him water, he can eventually fall out, my brother.
Yeah.
And your field can be right there with no one to plow it.
That's why slavery was ended. Yeah, that day is why slavery was ended. It wasn't because they felt good and felt sorry about keeping people and so forth. They understood that their commodity, people.
Yeah.
It will work better if they think they're free.
If they think they're free,
so they created a system where we thought we was free, but we really ain't because we still got
to
go back to their plantation.
Yes. Chain, put on your brain.
We still have to go back to the plantation.
That's where the sharecropping came in.
This is the part where I give blight to some of our leaders to some extent because they still in the plantation too.
Yes.
I don't care how rich our leaders
are. Yeah.
They still in the plantation. They still have to go back to the plantation because they don't own nothing. Mm-hmm. They were given this.
Yeah.
Only so you could be behaved.
Them playing the whole
as we still being capitalized
on. The whole slave syndrome. Most of them playing
now,
the whole
slave
syndrome.
Now, where I go, where I get them wrong and where they got a little better, and some of us, they got big-headed in that foolishness. Where some of them went in that space. Instead of understanding that, the fight ain't over. So I tell the rest of us, our people, Babylon, the fight ain't over. We've been independent, but we far from over from being free.
Yeah.
You always notice every time you talk about oppression and talk about defending your people or talk about loving blackness and defending blackness, the ones who are quite comfortable, who have nothing to worry about, has always been the ones to object against it.
Yeah.
Because only the ones, like the term say, who feels it knows it. The ones who being suffered from oppression, they could be able to relate to you. But those ones who born a silver spoon anymore or never know a day of hunger or never know how to go there and hustle, they could never relate to the person who's saying they don't know, they hungry and they know without food. So you have to look at it from this standpoint. Hey, we have a certain amount of people who know what we go through, who feel what we go through. They are allies in this. Mm. The ones who don't want to show support or who don't want to be a part of it, then you don't worry about them. You worry about the ones whose judgment is the ally who trying to help make this a better scene. You see
100%, but I can put them in middle class set of people because I'm sorry, a lot of us
some of them.
In there, we live in an illusion, and that was intentional, right? Because you need to prop up the system. You need people believing into the system to continue it going, right? So we have a lot of us who believe because we're able to pay our bills, we're getting a good job and so forth, we made it. It's okay. Right.
We ain't oppressed anymore.
You literally have a bunch of, a good chunk of us in the society are just there to continue the engine going on. To continue it going on.
Wow.
So you're pacified and it's into this comfortable space to make you believe that you are still free, but you are helping the system entrap everyone.
Wow. And that's one of the reasons what I was saying earlier, why I take my music and I use it, because to me, I'm not a judgment behemoth entertainer. I'm a messenger. So I bring message. And my message can sometimes be harsh. Sometimes you might can't take it because it's the truth. And the truth always is an offense, but it ain't a sin. So more time I use my message or my talent to deliver for the oppressed, for the voiceless, for the ones who need someone to speak for them, have the courage to speak for them, because I don't have no ties in society. That means you can't hurt me by taking nothing away from me because I have nothing. All I have is my voice.
Yeah.
I dedicate my life to the people. You see, it's not about me and my personal wants or my own egos, but it's for me to be for the people. So when you become a warrior or a revolutionary person, you can't have ties to nothing.
No, you can't have ties.
Because you can't have no one being controlling over you.
Listen to me.
See that you said?
That's why I'm in a position right there. What he said, when you're looking to lead, you can't be involved in no different organization because you got to be for the people. Because when you're for the people, you're speaking out the way I speak. Hey, I don't have a lot of people.
I'm going to be speaking against the organization I'm a part of.
I do that on my own. I don't want to be scared.
That, you see what I'm saying?
Let me give you a point. I could have been rich over and over with government contracts, right? Mm-hmm. But because I own the same radio and I speak out, I've had government contracts canceled, all right? Mm-hmm. And I've got people to do the same to me throughout my career. And that's why I've always been a person to speak for the BMN people no matter what. Because guess what? I've been given a task. No money can make me change from my part.
Real.
All right?
Real.
I just want to say this again to my American brothers and sisters who live in the States. Over and over, I watch you guys always saying that when the police pull up on y'all, what law have I breaking? And you use this as the way to agitate the police. Just please, take your identification out your pocket, give it to the police officer, and just lay on the ground. All right? stop fighting for your rights. You could fight for your rights by being silent. What I've seen is the strategy that the officers are using. They get aggressive and they say you become aggressive. So instead of becoming aggressive, when you pull over in the United States of America, if you're a black man, just simply tell your passenger to be quiet, do what the officers say, record it on camera, and just give your identification and go on the ground. And don't say a next word and say, your First Amendment's right. And no more than that. All right? Because that ain't working when y'all keep on getting agitated and you're telling the police, you know, what law have I broken? Right? So let's play a stop. Preserve your life. You have to come up with strategic plans on how to counteract the system that is out there to get you. So your best bet, pass your identification, get on the ground. That's my advice. I'll be completely out of time. I want to give what your YouTube channel again for those who want
to. Yeah, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/RasCorpo. I'm also on Facebook under my government name, Oswald White. And before I go, I'd like to send a shout out to my brethren in the Rastafari community, the Bobo Shanti, the Naya Bingi House. I want to send a shout out to a couple of my artist brethren, them who are doing this good music and trying to hold the faith. I know I want to shout out to my people, them home in Freeport, you know, to come together and just keep doing positive works. As I see, shout out to my brethren, Red Rush, shout out to my brethren, you know, Judgment. Oh, Lord.
Go ahead.
I try to get it near my knee. So, A Broken Silence, yes, I showed the brethren Broken Silence, you know what I mean, and showed them the brethren Jah Doctrine, showed to, you know, all of my brethren that we're doing good, but showed to Father Dex, that I know I'd go, yeah, man, and yeah, you know, showed it to my team, you know what I mean, and the Sankofa Flamingo team, that I know Nana, that I know Queen, Tamara, Queen Mother, that I see Angelique, that I see Unkufu Warrior, that I see Michael, and my brethren and sisters in Africa, that I see Steve, that I know Big Whale, I mean Lil Whale, Big Sam, that I see saying Steven, Alex, that I see Mabel, all the sisters, everybody, man. Yeah, yes, but I said, yeah, I just gotta do it because it ain't about me, it's for the people. So I can come here and forget these people who are important to me, mean something to me. Shout out to my family, you know, to my youths, them, you know what I mean, and Justice, that I know, Olissa, Amina, that I say, shout out to Shanti, shout out to Melissa, shout out to Evan, shout out to everyone, my little grandson, that I say, Judah. Yeah, man, bless the Lord, what more can I say? Yeah, thanks, yeah, I did what I could do.
Listen, I want to give a big, big shout out to the people of Hunter.
Hunter forever.
Listen to me. That's all of y'all. Lil Will, Big Sam, Steven.
Everybody.
Whole crew, man. Again. You know what I'm saying? Pearl is all over there. Just want to let you know, Sankofa Flamingo, we are a non-profit organization. We're doing big things. We're about culture. We're about heritage. We're about heritage tourism, understanding our story.
Yes, kid.
Trying to bring that to the relevance. Afro-Bahamian story. Chankanu is the first part of what we're delving into. It's a huge, wide story. You're going to want to follow Sankofa Flamingo. S-A-N-K-O-F-A.
Yes,
Flamingo. Follow us. Check us out. Get the story. Man. Watch the video.
Documentary don't forget. Coming out please, soon. I urge you, my Bahamian brothers, please go and support the music, okay? I spend time trying to bring this positive message. Y'all see we need it right now, what's going on in all the islands. Please go support this video. Support the music. Please keep positive music alive because as you can see, there's corrupt music taking over and it's doing its work, my Lord. Keep positive music. Shout out to the Plaza, F&M Plaza, Mackey Street, the Plaza Bubbles again. That's my crew who's always showing support to the music. I couldn't forget y'all. Y'all just tapped me on my brain just now, so I feel it.
All the artists, there's going to be a major cultural exchange program that we're going to be developing, working with Ministry of Culture, working with AMMC. All you artists, music, crafts, we're looking to work with y'all because we're going to be doing cultural exchange programs, getting that influence from over there, here, your influence over there. RasCorpo again, the whole trail load, our followers from out of Ghana, a whole lot. So expanding your reach. America ain't the only market. You get almost 1 million people, over 1 million.
And we also have a few projects on the Sankofa Flamingo roster coming out.
Yes.
A book from our Nana, and also a documentary that is being spearheaded by Michael, Unkufu Warrior Michael, as well with Robin. So we have some projects coming out soon. Will be a highlighting more about this, a Hunter mission, and about what we're trying to do.
You're going to be launching some tours very soon for international everything.
Yes,
crew.
Because Angelique, Queen Mother Angelique, you don't know I go, Queen of Junkanoo, who on that mission dealing with that. You don't know I go, made this interview possible as well.
Looking up Junkanoo on a regular. We want tourists and locals to be able to enjoy Junkanoo on a regular, you know,
know what I'm saying? Right. Proper festivals. You get me doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
man. For culture.
The team on the ground strong for black people and for Hunter, our people.
I want to thank you guys. Y'all are very informative. I hope people get your YouTube. They got the message. You guys are very informative. We got some history about Ghana. We got to know about John Canoe and how it relates back to us here. We got some culture about the females, the male, how to deal with the de-escalating situation in their community. We need to bring that concept back to our country where we have the community leaders, government, church leaders interceding. But most importantly, we have to find a way to bring empowerment. I see the small business section with Sumitra Roll, who I did some previous work with in 2012, 2013. She is now the interim director at the Small Business Development for the Overdale Initiative. I think we Bahamians need to be more empowered. And for me personally, I think we have to get rid of unemployment. We have to get rid of poverty. And I think, most importantly, this could lead to the redevelopment of the family structure, which in end could take its course and get us back on the right track.
And in order to do to help eliminate some of the poverty in our country, our government have to ensure that we give small businesses license for people to start, because no one start from big. You have to start from small. So start a lot of small businesses.
Small businesses.
You know, food, clothes, tailoring, manufacturing our own, whatever it is that we do, craft work, whatever. Start allowing people to survive and prosper in their own country, because you notice, like I say, people been noticing it for years. The foreigners can come in here and open up the biggest shops on Bay Street, take over the whole place where all the big money make, where all the white tourist money is make, but the black people get the little small over the hill or the little small straw market business, but we can't open a bigger business. So I think we need to break the embargo on that and start to give more small Bahamian business people license to operate small Bahamian businesses so we can help eradicate some of this poverty.
Yeah, and Samantha Roll from the Office of the Prime Minister, she's an exceptional person, and I think she's going to help push this, and this is my way of giving back. I'm going to focus more on helping small businesses get them established, and I'm going to be working directly with Samantha Roll. You know, and she is excellent. So, like I said, we have to get rid of poverty, right? And the only way we're going to get rid of poverty is to redevelop the family structure and the village, and to do that, we're going to have to get rid of the poverty, and to do that, we're going to find ways how we can start small businesses and create thousands of
and give them the license, please, because y'all know what has happened. Every time a Bahamian go to do something on the side of the road or go something somewhere and they don't have a paper, y'all see what has happened. They come, they take them, they close them down. It's hard to survive in a country where you don't have a paper to survive, and if you go there to try to survive and don't have a paper, you get closed down.
Cooperative economics. I want to start using that terminology. We can talk a little bit more after this, but cooperative economics is how we get up out of the state that we're in, and each of us get the strength of strengthen each other. Cooperative economics.
And we want people with their mindset and change to actually help enhance their business and get it better.
Yeah, I was about to say, even you tell a person,
we'll
give you a license, but build yourself a nice little fort with a little deck or whatever. We could do that. We will. I know enough behemoths will do these things because they're given a chance.
Yes.
But some don't even get a chance or opportunity. You just get doors closed in your face consistently.
Yes. And of those who do get a chance, take advantage of the opportunity. Learn how to bank, learn how to save,
and make your business grow.
And make sure you pay your employee the right set of money you're supposed to pay them.
And grow your business.
You pay them on time. And make sure your business is clean and you got hospitality.
Yes, King.
And you ought to treat your customers.
Yes, King. And your employees. And your employees.
Right.
Yes,
so we want to say thanks for you guys.
Hey,
you all had a wonderful
day.
Yes, yes. I want to say thank you guys.
Again, please, my Bahamian brothers and sisters out there, my African beautiful brothers and sisters, go and subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com, Ras Copper. Check out the video shot in Ghana. Beautiful video with a good message. Also, I have other music there. All message and music. All message and music.
I think for right now, small businesses and building homes.
Yes.
For this government.
Yeah,
small businesses.
Make sure small business in that, because you need
small businesses all through the family islands, all through Nassau and Dayton, building homes.
And the reason why I say small business, Bahamian people are hustling people. We like to go there and do things for ourselves, man. You know, we like to
We don't want to.
So give us that chance, please. Please.
Of course, we get fired. We did a wonderful job. Let's hear the music. We complete little time. So you see you next week.
King.
Empower the people. Small business and homes. Build homes.
Don't know. Candle in the Dark Room, the song called Candle in the Dark Room.
Yes.
I'll introduce it myself, my new latest song.
Tonight, enjoy.
Candle in the Dark Room. I hope you all love this song. It's a very inspirational song and a more smoother side to Ras Copper. Bless and love.
God can make it right. Just a little gloom from the beautiful moon can give us light. But when you got love in your heart, that makes it right. Yeah, I man say life over there. I don't fear the old grim reaper, 'cause I've held the King of Kings, who is the mighty keeper.